Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it a great privilege, Lord, to be gathered here this morning. Lord, we just love and appreciate you, Lord, for all you've done. Lord, we ask you to meet us here this morning with your Holy Spirit, Lord, as you promised, where two or three are gathered, there you will be in our midst. Lord, we just give all the glory and honor unto you, Lord, and we ask you to have your way in everything that's said and done this morning. And Lord, open our eyes to that word that comes forth, Lord. Lord, we just appreciate every opportunity, Lord, every nugget you can give us. Lord, we hand it all over to you now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. This little course on 594, our only belief. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. You welcome him this morning? Amen. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father. Page 18 are only our capstone books, our little ones. Page 18. Amen. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretched in anything. Hallelujah. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast on Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His death and resurrections. That's the only reason we can stand here today with anything in our hearts for Him. Amen. Just love Him this morning. Just appreciate His Holy Spirit, His peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Brother Amos, you take up the offering this morning. Amen.
truly we can say we have such a thanksgiving in our heart, Lord, each and every day, Lord, for all that you've done for us.
Amen.
For thy grace and mercy in our lives, Lord, for the price you paid for us. Lord, we are so thankful. We thank you for this opportunity you've given us to gather with our brothers and sisters around your word this morning, Lord. Don't want to take it for granted, Lord. Lord, we ask as your word comes forth, may our hearts and minds be open to receive what you have for us, Lord. Lord, as we come to this portion, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Let it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask this in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Something beautiful. Hallelujah. Something beautiful. Something good. All my confusion. This morning, raising our hand. Brother D-Long, we ask you to take requests, if you will.
Gracious Lord, we just give thee thanks again this morning,
yes.
Lord, for the opportunity we have to gather this morning, Lord. And we pray, Father, as we've gathered here this morning, that you, Lord, find it in your grace and your mercy and love to deal with our hearts today, Lord, and speak to our hearts and minds and our very soul, Lord. And we'd have a greater desire to serve you, Lord, and for our lives to be a witness and a testimony for you, Lord, in this hour and age we're living in. We pray this morning for the needs of the people, those that are sick and afflicted. You reach down your hand and touch them, Lord, and those that may have any other need, Lord, whether it be a financial need, material need, or thought or whatever it might be, pray that you'd meet it for your honor and your glory. And we ask you to anoint your word this morning, Lord,
yes.
And anoint your messengers to bring forth the word, Lord. We pray that you just deal with his heart, his mind, and his soul, Lord, and he'd just be a vessel yielded unto you, and he might speak forth thy word, Lord, and that your word might come forth an anointing, Lord, and thy God, deal with our hearts, Lord, in a special way today, Lord. The hour that we're living in,
we
pray, Father, that we'd be more dedicated and consecrated to you. We ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Anybody got a special they want to sing this morning? Anybody at all? Ask sisters to come. Thank you.
God cannot speak to us today if we've come in the wrong way. When his precious word comes forth, cuts asunder as a sword, what do we say? Do we think he means someone else, when actually it's ourselves in need? What is the reason? What's been our excuse? What is our attitude? So I'm crying out.
I'm crying out.
Lord, change my attitude.
Please change my attitude.
Change the thoughts I think, the way I speak. Go way down deep inside of me.
Inside of me, inside of me.
Set me on fire with a burning desire. Lord, hear my cry to keep climbing up higher. When it comes down to what really counts, it's my attitude. I'm thankful I can come in here today, lift my hands and give you praise, to show you I appreciate your wondrous love and grace, and your precious word. With a broken, contrite spirit, Lord, I bow down and sue. That's the only spirit God will look to, is the right attitude. So I'm crying. Change the thoughts I think, the way I speak. Go way down deep inside of me.
Inside of me.
Inside of me. Set me on fire with a burning desire. Lord, hear my cry to keep climbing up higher. When it comes down to what really counts, it's my attitude. Set me on fire with a burning desire. Lord, hear my cry to keep climbing up higher. When it comes down to what really counts, it's my attitude. My attitude.
Let's all stand. Sing a little chorus, Amazing Grace, as we ask our pastor to come this morning.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I see.
say, oh, wretch like me, I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. Let's just bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful that you provided a way for us this morning to gather around your precious word and, Lord, to have the desire to listen to it and to have it applied to our hearts and our lives, that all may see that you are alive. We pray now that you'll just bless us with the word today. You know, Lord, as in my heart, it has seemed to be a strange little subject this morning, but Lord, is something about it that it's still true. It's your word, Lord. And Father, help us to understand these things. It may seem like things that's so simple, which it is. And it may be seem that, Lord, that why, there's no problem with that in my life. But there is. Lord, you know all things and you know all about us. And there's no sense of us trying to hide anything. You know our thoughts. You know how we feel about everything in this life. So we ask that you would just help us today to be receivers of the word. And Lord, as they sing the little song, may we not be looking at the one sitting beside of us, but may we look at our own self. And Lord, that's the way you can help us. So we ask that you would do that and help us to do so. As we just want to again, Lord, commit ourselves unto you for service and bless the hearers of it also, that they also would commit themselves to you, Lord. We ask in your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be back again, isn't it? Amen. It seemed like when you don't have a service, it seems like such a long time for a week to go by. But let's just turn our Bibles to Numbers, the 11th chapter. And I'm still not going to bring the message that the Lord's laid on my heart. I don't feel it's time yet. So until then, these things will prepare us for it. Amen. All right, and Numbers, the 11th chapter. Back here in the Old Testament, and we'll read just part of the first verse, and I'll have you sit down because I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture. Numbers 11 and the first verse. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Amen. You know, it may, actually, we'll just title the message this morning, as strange as it may seem in the time we're in and with what we know the Lord is doing in our hearts and our lives, that we're going to tie a little message this morning, The Complainer. I know it's, actually the Lord was dealing with me last week on this, and then just seemed like late last night and even early this morning, I just couldn't get away from this. It just seemed like it's what the Lord wants. So that's, you know, when you preach the gospel, when, you know, especially for a few years, you find out you just got to yield to the Lord, regardless of what people think. You know, but there's often times we feel that way, and then we, you know, there's always somebody seem like comes along, you know, I just never thought of it that way, you know, or I appreciate that word. I didn't catch it like that now, that I do now, you know. So it's always a blessing to know that it helps somebody and helps them to see something a little greater way. And you know, and truly, we think about this complainer. It's like Brother Branham mentioned one time. He said, you know, it's like somebody said one time. He said he was complaining he had no shoes. But then after he seen somebody with no feet, there was no complaining, you know. And sometimes we are found out to be complainers. and being children of God. And we may think, oh, it's just a little word, you know, a little word. But I'm going to tell you, there ain't a little word in the Bible. There ain't a little word the prophet brought. And I'm sorry if you feel that way, that there is little words and big words. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We've got a wrong kind of experience when we think it's just little words. But even this word today is very big. It's very important because it's all part of a Christ-like life, you see. And though we've, I think I ministered on something like this years and years ago, but just as I said, I just couldn't seem to get away from it. And maybe we could, by God's grace, somehow each one of us measure ourselves up by the Word of God, you know, and just see where we stand before the Lord and where we can say, well, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. But we find here, as he said in the book of Numbers, here, and we'll continue to read, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. Now notice what happened here. The Lord heard it, okay? And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them, that they were in the utmost parts of the camp. Now think of this complaining going out. And if we go into the Old Testament, we see many times where children of Israel complained and murmured and whined and so forth about different things and situations in life. And as I said, you know, sometimes we find that we complain way too much, you know. And especially with what we have, God has blessed us with. In word, material things, life itself, health itself. And yet it seems like we always got something to complain about or to murmur about, you know. And maybe we'll see a picture this morning that how God hates this, you know, and how serious he takes it, okay. And he says, and the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. It's a good thing Moses was there. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again. You see, they complained. And said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now, of all things, even this is how important food was to them. And so, back in the New Testament, it talks about his God is their belly, you know. But he says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. My. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna. This manna, you know, before our eyes. This manna which fell from heaven, which God gave to them. God gave to them, and they complained. Okay? May not have been just exactly what flesh wanted, but God gave it, and they complained. He says, and the manna was as corator seed, and the color thereof as adelium, which is kind of like a gum resin, the way I looked it up, color. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it into mills, or beat it into a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. Now again, just kind of think of it in a way too of, you know, it's literal food. You know? And sometimes we complain about food, just the least little taste not being exactly the way we want it to be. You know, there's a lot of people don't even have food. People complain about maybe their home not just being exactly. Sometimes the wife gets a little more carried away with that than the men do. But the wife gets a little carried away. She wants the home this way and this fixed and that, this, that, and the other. But remember, there's a lot of people in cardboard boxes. You know? It's just things in life we're never happy with, regardless how nice we got it. You know? That's just the natural things. I'm talking about spiritual. He says here, and when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. See, they never had to worry about sustaining life because God made sure they was fed. But it wasn't exactly what they wanted in life. Yeah. It wasn't the exact taste they was looking for. They was used to this taste of melons and leeks and all these different things, you know. Fish. They was used to that. And yet, God gave them another way to live. And they wasn't happy about it. How many times does God give us something, a way to live by, and we just really ain't deep down inside really happy about it? Not real thrilled. But yet, well, this is what God wants. This is the way it'll be. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore hast I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all these people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all these people? Yeah. For they wept unto me, saying, give us flesh, that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with them, and that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. Now, we're going to begin to see really how fed up God is of this. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord. Now, you remember now, this is something God gave them and was going to provide for them and be exactly what they had need of. But the taste buds just wasn't happy with it. They wanted a better taste. They was used to a better taste. But what God gave them just wasn't very tasty. You know? Wasn't real easy for the flesh, is to say. Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. But even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils. So fed up God was of complaints. After He, the great Almighty, the creator of all things, knew what it would take to be in a place they could live off of it, and it would sustain them just perfectly fine. even a whole month until it comes out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome, which means nausea, till you become nausea unto you, because that you have despised the Lord. Now look, that complaint, the way God took it. He took, they despised him. Yeah. Because they weren't happy with what he gave them in their life. They weren't happy. And they was complaining. I think of the many things people complain about today. Well, you hear husbands complain about their wife. Well, what if you don't have one and can't ever get one? The wife complains about her husband. What if he takes your husband or never gives you one? Huh? You complain about the coffee not being right. I'll never buy the junk no more. Just a real sour attitude. And where it's that way with when we go into restaurants. Go into a restaurant and order the food, and my, if it ain't just perfect, we're really getting nasty. Yeah. Unhappy with maybe the car we have to drive. Maybe the truck that we have. And just complain and complain and complain. Just never happy. Just always got something to murmur about. Just remember, there's many, many, many people who don't have nothing what you have. Amen. At all. Amen. There's many people today that's going to have to try to dig in garbage cans to find something to eat. I've seen it happen, friends. Yeah. I've seen it happen. There's been people walk up sidewalks and down the street below freezing temperatures, no shoes on at all. Yeah. But if everything ain't just right for us human beings, I mean, if the temperature ain't just perfect, we got a complaint. We even come in this building oftentimes, oh, it's just so hot in there, you know. How if he was down in Africa and had no air conditioner? And the humidity is smeltering. Yeah. But we've always got something to complain about. And there's a little secret behind that. You break the word, you're not thankful. Amen. But I'm going to heaven. Go ahead and try it with that chain broke. Ain't going to happen. Well, how can I get along with all this stuff? Well, when he which is the comforter shall come, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. That's the secret. But we're such an unthankful people. So unthankful. But even a whole mouth or a whole month until it come out of your nostrils, are we dead again? And it be loathsome. Unto you, because that you have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? It's type of the world. And sometimes you have to pay a greater price when you belong to Christ. And some people complain because, oh, I can't watch television no more. I can't listen to honky-tonk music no more. Then they try to find some kind of religious group singing it that sounds just like it, same instruments and everything, same rhythm and everything, and they think, that's it, I got it now. Yeah. Friends, see how far as complaining goes. And many of us are guilty of it. I don't care how tough and big and how long you've been in it. You're guilty of it. And God knows it. And Moses said to people among them, who am I? And Moses said, the people among who I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh? that they may eat a whole month? Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Sometimes we're so worried about things, but the scripture tells us if he takes care of the sparrow, aren't you much more important than they? But we get the wrong attitude sometimes in thinking that we deserve the best. And that's what's gotten to the point that people think they deserve this. They deserve that. If it wasn't for God's grace, we deserve hell. Amen. Every one of us. Amen. But God, rich in mercy and grace, thank you, Lord. I deserve God. Do you? Ain't a one of us in our own merits deserve God. No. It's God's amazing grace. But people get to the point they deserve this, they deserve that. And it's come to the point today, friends, people are never happy with making enough money. No, it's make more, make more, make more. Get more, get more. Gather more, gather more, gather more. And just, they ain't never happy. You know? Oh my. What a complaining world we live in today. We are in this world, but don't become a part of it. See? Let's skip to the 31st verse. And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side around about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high. You know what that is? That's 36 inches deep. A cubit is 18 inches. 2 cubits, that's 36 inches deep quail. Wow. God was going to make sure. Go ahead. Go ahead. Upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all day and all night. Why, you think they'd sit and pray for something like that? They'd pray all night and all day? But boy, give them food and they'd stay there all day and all night to get it. That's about how carnal people has gotten in this hour. Get all excited about something material or food or something like that. But when it comes to God's word, it ain't too much excitement anymore. Yeah. And the people stood up all day, all that day and all that night and all the next day. And they gathered the quails. He that gathered least, this is the least of what some of them gathered, gathered 10 homers. That's 300 liters. That's almost 793 gallon of quail meat. See where their heart was at? So, oh, they was a terrible people, wasn't they? What about us when we complain and think we got to have something certain way? Has to be just precise, so perfect. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. Oh, he went ahead and gave it to them. Yeah. But that didn't calm his wrath. It was still kindled. And while they chewed it, he said, the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place, I don't know if I'll pronounce this right or not, Kibrohath-Tavi, something like that. There, he said, and there they buried the people that lusted. So think of that. Because of them wanting, it caused these people to complain. They was not happy. They was not satisfied. So it caused them to complain. And how it did stir the wrath of God. Because of complaining, like the very first verse we read, the people complaining displeased the Lord. Is he the same today as he was yesterday? Absolutely he is. Absolutely he is. Look at the people that he is and what he's done for a people today. And that there's always some little thing that crops up we ain't happy with, and we've got to express it to people. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this, and I don't like that. You know? There's always something we don't like. I don't like this person, if nothing else. I don't like being here. I don't like doing that. And just always complaining. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a very good example in the very position he was placed in of going to the cross. Said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If anybody had a right to complain, it was our Lord Jesus Christ. But he never gave us the example of complaining. No. Never give us that example of complaining. He always gave the example of being thankful, regardless of what situation he was in. And you think of all these great men, even as Peter. Can you think, and is there some way the Holy Spirit could just really dip it in the thoughts? Our very thinking of what some of those men went through. When persecution came upon them, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they'd take and go out and flog them, man, and beat them, and cause great deep lacerations on their back, and be thankful that they suffered persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ. Thankful. Could you imagine any of us today if we were beaten, if our back was lacerated, openings in our back, bleeding, and see the muscle tissue in our back running down our back, and hateful men doing it to you? And could we answer and say, be thankful. I'd be thankful. Or would you, maybe you could take it for a while. Maybe they got done a little quicker and maybe you thought it was going to get done. But then when somebody come in, oh, I don't know why I had to go through this. Why is this happening to me? It's got to be better in life. Can't there be something different? Why do I have to go through this? That's not what them apostles said. When they were beaten for his sake. No. But is there real Christians like that today? I'm not trying to de-Christianize anybody. But just, is there really real Christians like that today? And if maybe one of the children's sick, we do nothing but complain to everybody. Oh, and just complain. Oh, I wish they'd get better. I can't go to town. I can't do this because the child is sick. My husband wants me to do this. And nothing wrong with what he's desired. But complain and complain and complain. Nothing seems to be good for us. Nothing seems to be made just right for us. A pair of shoes don't fit just right. And we complain. In the Book of Martyrs, friends, some of them had their feet beat with rods while they were strapped down. And again, some don't even have feet to put shoes on. We're never happy. We're always complaining. Let's go on. Hebrews 3:7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. What? Through unbelief. In other words, harden is don't become stubborn. Yeah. Stubborn and complaining goes along. Yeah. As in the provocation, see, they provoked God. We just read how provoked he was. In a day of temptation in the wilderness, time of testing, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Look how long we've had this message even. Look how long we've known the word. And yet, can our hearts become so hardened that we live like spoiled brats? As to say, a silver spoon in our mouth? I'm sure probably all of us have seen the opportunity, had the opportunity to see a child that has been spoiled. And they're absolutely worthless. They know no responsibility. They're not workers. They're not appreciative. They're disrespectful. Because everything has been handed to them. And yet they complain. They want more. And want to do less. Have we become that kind of people? To do less? We can't even pray. We can't even study the word. Some can't even make it to church after time. Yeah. We want to do less. And I'm not talking about people live away. Don't think that. But because the wife complains about something and makes sure to work the overtime to make the extra money, to make her happy, regardless whether it's time for service or not. Or just to meet that plain complaining we have within ourselves of not being satisfied. I want this and I want that. Oh my. How do you think God looks at all this? He gives us examples in the scripture how he looks at it. He hates it and it stirs his wrath. Yeah. But Brother Steve, that was a long time ago. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, the day of temptation, the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. And said, they do always err in their heart. Just can't keep it straight. And they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath. Original Greek says my anger. I promise in my anger. But everybody thinks, oh, God's a loving God. He is until you cross him. Amen. You break his word. So I swear my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren. Take heed. Lest there be in any of you, you, me, and us, an evil heart of unbelief. We consider it today and believe this or not believe it. Yeah. In departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh my. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the Lord. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they have had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I'm going to read something here what the prophet said in Hebrew book. All right. Chapter 3, paragraph 134. Watch this. Let me read it, he says. While it was said today, hear his voice, harden not your heart, his voice speaking to your heart as in a provocation when they provoked him. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, see? How many knows that the Israelites provoked God with their unbelief? All right, he says, what? They murmured, which is complaint. God walked right down there, and when they got, first thing, he skips there and says, and the first thing, they got in trouble. Here was the pillar of fire above them. I don't know whether they saw it or not. At least Moses saw it, and it was above them, and they watched it. And when they come down, say, if they didn't see it. Now, I don't know whether they did or not. We'll say whether they did or not. See, it went before them. The Bible said it was there. And it said, the star went before the wise men. Nobody saw it but the wise men. It went over every observatory. They kept time by the stars. No one saw it but the wise men. It was for them to see it. And the wise men was those who, was who the star was sent for. And the pillar of fire was sent to Moses. And Moses was sent to the children of Israel. And they were supposed to follow Moses. They could see Moses. And Moses saw the light. And as they went out, they came to the Red Sea. Oh, they never seen all those signs and miracles and things taking place while they were still down in the old land of Egypt. But when they got out of there, their journey, just converted and brought out, then the first thing you know, they got in trouble. Now they begin to see things, but then they got in trouble. God loves to bring you, now listen, God loves to bring you in trouble. Yeah. He loves to put trouble down and see what you'll do about it. So he just stopped up the Red Sea and first thing you know, marched them right out into this place and sent Pharaoh after them. See how God likes to do it? He loves to display his power and love. He is God. And he just loves to show you who he is. Oh, I like that. And the trouble of it is today, people say, oh, them days are past. Now, how can God display himself when you're taught such stuff as that? But God loves to manifest himself. Here come the children of Israel walking in the light, Moses going on before them. And there they was, come on this way, come this way, God is calling. We're going out. We're going to the promised land. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to the promised land. But this is what you're going to eat. Amen. I'll feed you. Okay. He says, oh, hallelujah. Here they all was shouting, jumping, having a good time, you know. And the first thing you know, they look back and said, oh, what's that dust? One of them climbed up on the hill and said, oh, alas, it's Pharaoh's army. God said, what are you scared about? Didn't you believe what I did down there? What are you so worried about? He says, why do you make me angry? Why are you going to do this now? Why can't you depend on me? Why couldn't they depend on that bread that he sent them? Why couldn't they? Because the flesh had a stronger pull. What do you think in reality makes people complain? You may not want to admit it, but your flesh is way too strong. But Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I live, but yet it's not I. It is Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So now, where are we at? When flesh can make us be such complainers. Again, if everything ain't just right, friends, like it was for these children, if it wasn't just right, they had a complaint. I wonder how many complaints we got because everything ain't just right. My. When they got down there, Moses went out and interceded to God. And he said, God, just open up the Red Sea. And they walked across, closed the enemy in. That's the way God does it. Don't get scared. Don't get all excited. Don't be frustrated. He said, you provoke God, though. Then what did he do? Look like, well, we had one big trial. Bless God, we got over it now. We won't have no more. We're on our road to the promised land. And he had led them right out in the desert where there's no water, Could you imagine? In a desert where there's no water? Just try to get it in your mind, your thoughts. God leads you to a place, expects you to live, and no water. We all know it takes water to sustain life in this body. Now remember, they couldn't see no water. If they'd have seen water, it would have been no problem. Oh, look at this nice big water hole over here. But they couldn't see it. Oh. So things started getting rough on flesh. He said, could you imagine? He said, God with his his holy people, sanctified people, led them right out into this trap. God led them out in this trap. Then got them out of that trap and led them right out there where there's no water. When he could have took them somewhere where there was water. Been a whole lot easier. Would have made a lot more sense to the carnal reasoning. Why, he could just made a river all the way along if he wanted to. He could have broke every mountain into joyous spurting water 50 feet in the air if he wanted to. Sure he could. But if he'd done that, it'd have been too easy. Well, I thought things serving the Lord was supposed to be easy. No, he never promised you no bed of roses. No. Do you think those apostles went through things easy? Oh, my. Peter came to the point he was hung upside down at his request because he didn't feel worthy to hang upright as our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, it led to his head being cut off. Stephen led him to being stoned to death. Don't you think that hurt? Huh? My, talk about making you nervous. Wow. And people that was speaking to you and pronouncing judgment, and this great king telling his, as he stood there and told Peter, okay, you're going to be crucified. You thinking people talk sweet and kind? You think it was really nice people? It was full of hatred. Much hatred. Death. That's all they knew was death, kill, destroy. Stomp it out. This sect, this religious sect, they called it. You see? But if he'd done that, it'd been too easy. Oh my, blessed be the name of the Lord. And oftentimes Job is mentioned, you know. How many of us could go through what Job did without going along when the wife began to say, won't you just curse God and die? We'd begin to say, yeah, I don't know why God's doing this to me. This is just getting terrible. Well, this is unbelievable what I'm going through. I've lost my children, my family, my home, my livestock. I've lost everything. But he didn't, did he? Even having his sweet little wife talking to him about it and causing a snare for him. But there's still something about him. The Lord giveth. The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No, it's thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are we really like that? When things are going rough? That's when complaints come, when things ain't just right. If everything was just right, there wouldn't be no complaints. But how much complaining do we do? Oh my. Why did God let this happen, Brother Branham? Why did God, he said, God is doing that. He said, let him alone. Just walk on. That's God's business. The footprints of the righteous are ordained of the Lord. You see, what difference does it make? I lost all my money, Brother Branham. Bless God anyway. What? You lost all your money? Bless God anyway? Or will we go crying around on everybody's shoulder? I lost all my money. Well, I had it where you shouldn't have had it, and then you lost all your money. Yeah. And complain. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is it too hard? Does it seem impossible to be that type of person? I'm sorry, there's already been examples in the past that already did it. And that's what we're supposed to be like today. No, Brother Steve. I'm a son of God. I'm a bride. I deserve the best in life. Whatever. Whatever. Yes, he said, I would that they would prosper and be in health. Yeah. What if it must be tested? Huh? When he said he'd rather we be in prosper and be in health and so forth, does that mean, okay, no test? I'm going to be healthy all my life. No, you ain't. I'm going to have plenty of money. No, that don't mean you're going to have plenty of money all the time. You might be tested. Now, it might be taken away, but you might get doubled back too, like Job did. Yeah. Your health might be taken away, but God give it back. Yeah. We always put limits on God, what he wants to do. He does whatever he wants to. He's sovereign. You see? But we got him tied up and wrapped in a wrapper. He's got to do everything I want. Sorry, friend. That ain't the way it works. Nope. Lost all my money, Brother Bram. Well, bless God anyhow. Oh, I did this and this happened. This storm blew away my house. Bless God anyhow. Or we would go around complaining to everybody. I lost my home. I ain't got no place to live. I got to start all over. God knows what's in your heart. Whether you think he does or not, he knows exactly what's in your heart. The Lord give, the Lord take the way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just keep walking on. It's all to the glory of God. Yes. And God knows what he's doing. Isn't that true? He knows exactly what he's doing. You see? Some through the water, some through the flood. Some through the deep trial, but all through the blood, he says. That's the way he leads us. That's right. Oh my, he says, I feel like I could just stop and scream. That's the way he leads us, dear children. Oh, he says, now I'm not a psychologist, but can you just feel that lovely spirit now bathing over the building? What if our eyes would come open just now and look what is standing around the sides of these walls, up and down these aisles? Let me just go over something else here. Let's read Mark 14 if you want to turn with me there. It's up to you. I won't try to hold you too much longer. There's a lot more to read on this, but maybe I can read something else here, what Brother Bram said too. Mark 14, first verse. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes. Now just kind of watch this. We may complain about what somebody else is doing. But just kind of watch this or something here. Maybe you just don't quite agree with something they've done or what they're doing. And maybe you don't know the whole story. But it so happens so many times. And so we complained to this brother about it. We complained. Did you see what this brother said? Did you see what he done? Do you see what he's doing over here? After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon, the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. It was very expensive. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation, or in other words, they was displeased in seeing this. This oil would be wasted like this within themselves, and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Here she poured on the head of our Lord Jesus. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. They complained. But she was fine. That's what God wanted her to do. And Jesus said, let her alone. Friends, who are we to control other people's lives? Especially if it's something they're led by the Holy Ghost to do. Who are we to control that? Who are we if they want to sell everything they've got? Who are we to say anything about it? Huh? We always got to have something to say about something. Yeah. Yeah, I'll grant you. Some people may do things that just, it ain't right and it ain't the word. That's another deal. But what if they're doing something that the Holy Spirit's really dealt with their heart to do? Maybe go help somebody, a brother. Maybe sell their truck and give them the money. And you go around their back and murmur and complain. Do you see that brother, what he did? He sold his truck and give it to that brother. And that brother's got $5,000 in the bank. And you don't know a lick of nothing. And maybe that $5,000 done gone. He give it to somebody else. You don't know nothing about it. But we started complaining. Why would that brother do that? Murmuring around. Oh my. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. As you have done it, the least of my little ones you have done unto me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whenever and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And we still speak about it tonight, or this morning. Well, you may not take it that way, and there's other little things to it. You know, every scripture has a compound meaning. But the thing is, think about that situation. The know-it-alls thought they knew what was going on, so they complained. And boy, if that ain't another spirit throughout the land, know-it-alls. They know everything. You can't tell them nothing. You can tell them exactly what that Bible says. Oh, I know it ain't that. I know it ain't that. It ain't this. You can tell them, you know, maybe a brother is going through a certain thing and this, that, and the other, and they got in their mind, no, sir, I seen this. I seen that. Wow. And you really don't know nothing going on. But you always got to have something to say about it because you want to be a know-it-all. And your know-it-all is going to get you in big trouble one of these days. You're going to know it all the wrong thing someday. Yeah. He says here, let me just read a couple more scriptures and we'll close. I was going to read something there, Brother Bram said in Resurrection Life. But yeah, I'll go ahead and read it. And then we'll read two little scriptures. If I got enough time, it'd be okay, you sure? All right, paragraph 4 in Resurrection Life. All right, November 18, 1963. This is in the funeral of little Garnet Peaks. I'm sorry. We have here this afternoon something that's not welcome any time or anywhere at any time. No matter how prepared we are for it, because it's during a funeral, it's always an unwelcome guest, talking about death, that's sure to come to every home. And it's heartless. I'm sure if I had been death, that's how he says, I don't think I would want to come to a home that this death has come to. This young Christian, though, that we have this body laying before us as we know him, as our brother Garnet. Now, he was just a little teenager. And we're here today assembled to pay the last respects to this young, gallant Christian. It's the last things that we can do for him upon the earth. Though he does not hear us, but we're thinking about those who has this before them yet. It must be taken care of someday. We've got to meet it. Young or old, sooner or later, it comes to us all. Talking about death. No matter what I would say about Garnet, as I knew him, it wouldn't change our opinion. Because later on he's talking about it. You never heard him complain. None. In the condition he was in. Yeah. His life and his testimony speaks among you all. Oh, if we all could have a life and a testimony speak out, that we are never a complainer. Never a complainer. But always thankful for all things. No matter what I could say about Garnet as I knew him, it wouldn't change our opinion. His life and his testimony speaks among you all louder than anything I could say. My personal acquaintance with him was through his mother. One night while service was over, my church, she come to me and she had a son that was dying with polio. I think they had given up hopes that he could live any longer. Well, many of those calls, he said, we have them. He said, they're just a regular routine. But when I went to see this young fella, it was in this iron lung, there was something about him as I laid my eyes upon him the first time. I loved him. I love him until today. And as I look at him now, and always will, he was a gallant young fella. And he seemed like he had something in life that meant more than just an ordinary boy of a teenager just passing through. He had more of a clear understanding of things. I prayed for him that he wouldn't die. And finally, they'd taken him from the iron lung, and he was brought home. He was put in some kind of a rocking bed. They already kept him breathing. And I come to see Garnet, and what a sweet Christian that life had developed into, a boy that any parent would be proud of. And he says, that's our journey here on earth. That's what it's for, is to prepare for leaving. And Garnet had certainly made his preparation beyond any shadow of a doubt. The young man, full of the spirit of life of Christ, it reflected right through him. Notice what reflected to him, that he didn't complain? Yeah. This was a young boy. And in a worse condition than any of us sitting here is in. Never complained. And I live in Tucson, Arizona, some time ago, and the young lad got sick and was very sick. An expression of his faith to call the long distance. And when I finally got in my home and prayed for the little boy on the phone, why, the grace of God came to him, and he got over it time after time. When we'd have something wrong or he'd have something wrong, he'd call. Together we would pray by the medium of the telephone. And I don't think our Heavenly Father ever turned him down at any time, but what he got over, what he had. Last fall, I was down there visiting friends, though, and one day, last time I seen Garnet in this life, we stepped in unexpectedly, his loving little home. He was staying with his people, and what did we find? It was a real example for a Christian minister to see this. He was setting up and out of the rocking bed, had his arm in his little sling, and we walked to the house, and we was always so welcome there. And there was Garnet. And before him was the Bible. And there's that young lad. There laid his Bible. And the little lady was taking care of him, was sitting over there in a little duffel affair, and they were having Bible study. And I looked at him, and my heart just melted. And I said to him, and asked him a question. I said, Garnet, perhaps what if this had never happened to you? I called up her and said there had been a young boy by the name of Garnet Peaks had just got killed out there in the highway with his car, and the boy was drunk, and his soul had gone on to meet God. Or would you just rather keep the scene the way it is? There he is getting over this polio. Even Prophet prayed for him, but he's still working to get over it. Okay? He said, or would you just rather keep the scene the way it is? Would you rather be the young boy going down the road, drunk, get killed in a car wreck? Or would you rather keep the scene the way it is, dealing with this polio? He said, just let it be the way it is. As long as I know Jesus the way I know him. He said, the boy said, it's more than life. He could have complained. But the prophet said he never did. Even though I'd have to stay here all my life in this condition, this young boy said. My, ain't none of us here in that condition. None of us sit here with polio. But he said, I want to show you, Brother Branham, how much better. Yeah, he's all excited. I want to show you how much better I am. He could move his arms and so forth. With great anticipation, he was looking forward to the time that he would be well so he could walk around. He said, I'm an old man and seen much of my days. I don't believe I ever met a more gallant spirit boy than that Garnet. Great hopes for him. A few nights ago, I told he'd taken something like intestinal flu. And that's when he realized that he was going. He called for me, and he didn't know at that time that I was in New York at the arena. And when I got out of the arena, the telegram or message was given to me, and I rushed quickly to the phone and called. But the lovely brother that was taking care of him said, Brother Branham, Garnet went to meet Jesus at 6 o'clock. And I'll skip over to his prayer. Gracious God, great eternal Jehovah, who moved upon the waters and said, let there be light. You who spoke the world into existence by your word, by promise, and has promised the same word, he shall rise again. Now we want to offer you, Father, this afternoon, he says, as I was associated with this young brother in life, and how the undying love between he and I, as long as I live here, I suppose I'll always remember that gallant little soldier rocking on that bed in the iron lung between breaths, praising the Lord. He was an example for me too. Wow. He says of his patience, and he never complained, yet in that condition. But friends, God knows. It's taken a lot less than that to make us complain. And we think it's okay. We pass it off as just life. We've become another American citizen. But God knows. Amen. He never complained. He just wanted the will of God to be done in his life. Thou hast placed him before us, and now thou hast taken him out of our presence. Lord God, may each one of us this afternoon who are living, and I feel that Garnet would want me to say this, if we are not prepared, may we be prepared and be as I have stated it, Father, germatize us to meet him by the same Holy Spirit which he received, the life that was in Christ. What a gallant young man that must have been. For the prophet of God to speak that of him. And I think, many times I think, Lord, how many times do we complain? Do we even notice it? Do we really even notice it? We just complain, and we don't even realize what we're doing. We're so unthankful. We're no more thankful than anything. We just had Thanksgiving, you know, but was we really thankful? Did it go beyond a turkey on the table and a ham on the table or this, that, and the other? Did it go beyond that? Is it an everyday thing in your life you're thankful? Because the minute you become unthankful, you complain. So just think. You may sit there and be a brave soldier, you think, sitting right now. I'm a thankful person, Brother Steve. And yet you complain. You're a liar. You lie. You're not thankful. And you're always complaining. And everything has to be just right for your little flesh body. I mean, if a pillow ain't just perfect, you complain. If the blanket ain't just right, you complain. If mama's meal didn't taste just right, you complain. Could you make this a little better? You used to. Do you complain about your daddy? Do you complain about your mom? Huh? Remember, young people sitting here, many people don't have mommies and daddies. Right. Amen. Many don't. Y'all be thankful you got a godly mother or dad. Y'all appreciate the food that's put on your table. Yeah. You may not just like it like you want to, but you'll be so thankful you're not starving, because many people are. Yeah. You wear nice clothes. Yeah. You got good health. You may have a little this, that, and the other wrong. But friends, at least you've got legs. I think of Brother Guy Singer. Sitting down there, you know, and having to live in that hospital like he does. No legs. His heart is to be here. He can't, but you are. Y'all be thankful. Philippians 2, 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights into the world, like little garnet did. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Yeah. Concerning you and me. This is the will of God. How important is it to us? Why don't complain, brother? Are you sure you don't? Are you even aware of it? You do it so much. You think you don't complain. But remember this. God sees it. The same as he did then with the children of Israel. He still sees it. We didn't come here today for just no reason at all. But I trust the Holy Spirit in something that spoke to your heart. And then no one can fix it. It's Jesus Christ in your life. That's the only way. And if we've been slowful and just plain give over to the flesh and senses, then God help us. We haven't got much time left. What are you going to do when the press comes on? Huh? You're going to complain? Murmur? Always some people, I'm not happy with this, I'm not happy with that. I had a man on the job this week just saying, I'm not happy with this and this, that, and the other. And I said, be thankful you have a job. You may sit there and think, I can get a job anywhere. Not without God's grace, you ain't. He may take your health away tomorrow. Then what are you going to do? You think you can do everything on your own and just think you can do this, that, and the other? Just let God lift his hand for a minute. See how far you're going to get. Yeah. This is God's amazing grace. Amen. Amen. Let's, won't you sisters come to the instruments? And, amen. Can't help but to think again about the little song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Oh, my. I told Grace before, you know, she plays a little bit of the violin. I said, if anything ever happens to me, I'd like you to play Amazing Grace at my funeral. Yeah. Hopefully she'll be able to at that time. If the Lord don't come, don't know. Don't know what's in God's plan. I may not live tomorrow. You may not either. You're living by God's grace.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Amazing
grace,
sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Hallelujah. I once was lost, but now. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Let's bow our hands. Heavenly Father, sometimes, Lord, we may look at these little services as something not very important. But Lord, everything you do and everything in your word is so important. And I'm just trusting that somehow by your great work of your Holy Spirit today that you have searched every one of our hearts. And Lord, that we'd make sure everything's all right. And if it ain't all right, give us grace, Lord, to repent. And turn away, Lord, from terrible thing that you hated so greatly. To hear a people complain and murmur with what you've blessed them with. What a blessed people we are, Lord. May we be ever so thankful, always so appreciative. And Lord, may we always be able to say, "Thy will be done, Lord." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Forgive us, Lord, of our complaining. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Sometimes, Lord, things in life goes maybe a little different directions than we expect. But maybe we, through faith and our love for you, Lord, keep your holy word through it all. Just ask once more now that you go with us and guide us, Lord, and keep us safe upon the highways. Again, Lord, bring us back to the next appointed time, if you should tarry. But Lord, we're looking for the appearing of the Lord just any day. Things could finish up real quickly. But Lord, may we be ready and help us to be pleasing always in thy sight. Thank you for your mercy and grace. In your glorious, precious name, we ask these things. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And you're dismissed. Amen. Amen.